Views and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O., informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
Good afternoon. This is David O. Thank you for joining me on In the Know with David O. It's a kind of overcast Tuesday, right? A little bit of drizzle. But so far, it's been good weather, like all in all, you know. I hope you're having a good Tuesday. We are so happy that you're able to join us. My guests today are Chris Wilson, Esquire. Well, listen, you may know or not know him, but you certainly know of him. He played in the NFL for the San Diego Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens, and for a little bit with the Philadelphia Eagles. But he has gone on to become a filmmaker, well, an attorney, an entertainment lawyer, but he is spending his time as a filmmaker, among other things. And we'll get a chance to talk with him. And Hani White. She is a leader in the Indonesian American community. Are you familiar with the Indonesian community? I am. I've been to their events, wonderful events, such friendly people. And she's going to tell us about the opportunities for you and me and everyone else to participate in some diverse culture, food, meeting new people. That is upcoming events with the Indonesian American community here in the greater Philadelphia area. But now we are going to talk to Sherry Darden. She is the publisher of Scoop USA newspaper. How does a person become a publisher of a newspaper? Are they just rich and they buy a newspaper? Well, that's not her story. She's going to share that with us, and you'll be surprised to find out how she ends up running this newspaper. Before I introduce her, though, let me just thank our show sponsor because, well, we wouldn't have this show without Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They're located at the Land Title Building, 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800. They help people who are injured or who need to be rehabilitated, who need some help in getting back to having a full physical life and with that a full emotional life as well. Check them out, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Last week, by the way, we had a fantastic conversation with Zwe Kwok, CEO of Calm Clarity, on how to rewire your brain for greater happiness and success. We also talked to Brooke McDowell, Director of Advancement at AlphaCare. They do free pregnancy tests, ultrasound. They have a mobile unit, all that, you know, to help folks. They're a nonprofit. Check them out, AlphaCare. And then we spotlighted Aviance, you know, three young ladies coming up with a new sound in R&B. And, you know, if you want to follow them, check them out, Aviance. We certainly enjoyed having them on. You can hear the interview, hear their music, and our conversation by going to www.dbam.com and check out the programs and look for In the Know with David O. You'll be able to hear all our programs, including today's program, probably around 5 o'clock. It'll be on a podcast. Well, let me start by introducing you to Sherry Darden. She just left her job. Listen, she's worked at the public defender's office. She started out, I think, as a typist and then was a secretary, then an executive secretary, then assistant at HR, and then the HR manager. 29 years, but she gave it all up just this June 2018 to be full-time publisher of Scoop USA newspaper. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Welcome, and thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with this. I mean, you started at Scoop USA because the founder and publisher, Sonny Driver, was looking for someone to do some typing. Is that right?
Yeah. I started as a part-time typist. I actually knocked on his door one nice hot day in August. I was a little tiny, as I am, wearing, as he says, hot shorts.
Okay.
And I knocked on the door, and I says, the man around the corner, Mr. Van, told me you need a typist. So he said for me to come talk to you about a part-time job.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, as a working single parent, you have had many jobs working in supermarkets, Walmart, private typists for attorneys and students. You were doing a lot.
And to make sure that I made ends meet.
Yes.
And an honest living.
Something a lot of our listeners can relate to. And so at the time that you knocked on his door, you were looking for a job as a typist, right?
I was looking for a job as a typist. I of course, had my job at the public defender's office, which was my primary income.
Right.
But as a single parent, I had a daughter who went to Catholic school.
Right.
Who also had engaged in a lot of extracurricular activities.
Somebody had to pay for that.
And I had to pay for that.
Right.
So with being in a situation where I wanted to provide for her without having to ask or depend on my parents or ask anybody for anything,
right,
I decided that the best thing for me to do would be to have a part-time job. I worked at the supermarket. I had several jobs, as you said. I worked at the supermarket. Most of those jobs were overnight. So my daughter would have to stay with her grandparents while I worked overnight.
And so you had a day job and a night job. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
For many years. Mm. And when I was given the opportunity to work for Mr. Driver, I had actually just started. I had been working at Walmart for about a month. And I was supposed to work there 2 days a week.
Right.
From like 5 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
But at Walmart, you would have to do something called redline and clean up the store. So
right.
My 5 to 9 hours actually became 5 to like 11:30 or 12.
Mm.
And instead of 2 days a week, I was working almost 4 or 5 days a week.
Wow.
Which really was limiting my time with my daughter.
Right.
So when I was given that opportunity, I was like, this is awesome. I get to type for like 2 or 3 hours a night and make just as much money as I was making
right.
at Walmart. This is great. So I was like, let me go see what he's talking about. So I knocked on the door, and he kind of grabbed me in immediately and kind of put me on the computer and was like, you're going to type. Let's see what you can do. So I started typing within minutes from when I knocked on his door. He gave me like this test, so to say, and he started teaching me the difference in what we use now as Cork.
Right.
As opposed to the Windows programs I was accustomed to as
right.
a typist in the office.
And so you must have done a fantastic job because you ended up spending a long time there,
years.
Right? 29 years?
22.
22 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened is, of course, I walked in as a typist. Immediately I started working, and within 2 weeks his typesetter quit.
Oh, goodness.
Just walked out and left both of us there by ourselves. I had never typeset or worked in that process before.
For our listener, what is the difference between being a typist and a typesetter?
A typesetter is, graphically, I'm the person who puts the news together for a paper.
Okay.
So I place all of the ad placements. It's more of developing and graphics work as opposed
okay.
to doing the actual typing. But I was kind of unique because I could do both.
Okay.
So many times I would end up typing the article and then place it in a paper.
Mm.
So it was just he and I for months, you know, just in there.
Yes.
And that first couple of weeks, it was really, really daring. Like, we actually mispressed a couple of nights because I was new.
Right.
And he
right.
was nice. He didn't hold it against me. He's like,
right,
we just got to
right.
do what we got to do. So over the course of that time, he and I became, of course, really close because we were working a lot more than the 2 or 3 hours I anticipated.
Yes.
I would be in there sometimes until 2 and 3 in the morning because, of course, it was my learning curve. I was learning and he was working with me and his paper needed to get out.
Now, many people thought that he might be your father, right?
A lot of people thought he was my father.
Yeah,
and it partially came because I would be at events and with him and I would
right.
holler out, Dad, Dad, just to embarrass him because, of
right.
course, he didn't have any kids and everyone
right.
would say, is that your daughter?
Yeah.
And he would shamefully say, no, that's my boss.
Right, right. Now, what happens, however, that kind of illustrates the very close personal and professional relationship that you developed with him.
Mm-hmm. More than anything, he came to know, because regardless of where my life was, what was going on, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, he knew I would drop everything and make sure I was there for him.
Mm.
So more than anything, it was developing that dependability and trust. So
yes.
he trusted that I understood the importance of the paper and what it meant to him. And that I had to do what I needed to do to make sure I was there. So many
yeah.
nights I would be running in there at like 9 o'clock at night. And he's, I know you were coming because you don't not
So
come.
For 22 years, you were hands on at this newspaper, mm-hmm. typing, helping, strategizing, as you said, typesetting. And he saw for 22 years your commitment to the mission, your love of him and his legacy. And so there came a point where he wanted to talk to you about what happens after him.
So what happened is in late October, he decided he needed to have a staff meeting with all of his staff. And we had a roundtable meeting in which we discussed the paper going forth, if with him being in his 90s and being ill at the time, what exactly would happen. How would we either work under someone else and pledge to work under them to make sure that the legacy stayed in place?
And what was his legacy? What did he feel his legacy was?
Well, the history of Scoop is that we are a free community paper, and what we do is we share the positive aspects of what's going on in our community. You know, we have mainstream media who focus on the general standards of life and the things that, unfortunately, most of the time aren't viewed as positive from our neighborhoods.
Right.
So what we do is we bring that other side. I actually say that we complement mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
We are the other side of that table. So what we do is, in sharing that information, our first job is to share information and develop that community so that they understand that there is some good coming out of it. The second job is bringing communities together. Scoop is renowned and known in Philadelphia for the work that we did in changing the Martin Luther King Drive because he actually, working with the community, developed and I guess got well over a million or so signatures to change West River Drive to Martin Luther King Drive. And there was a big celebration in which we actually developed and named the first African-American street after, well, Martin Luther King Drive on West River Drive, and it was, I think, in 2005. So that's one of the things that we're really, really known for, and that is the community development part, where we bring people together to share a common goal and do some good within the city.
And that was what really drove him, and ultimately his staff, yourself included, is that the impressions, you know, that are created become realities to people, and people were only getting the negatives, and there was so much good that was just left untold.
All of the good is always left untold.
Right.
I mean, if you pick up the average paper, you see so much destruction. And the good stories may not be in the first three pages. They're in the back of the paper. Why? Why is it that we have to focus on the negative at all times? I think that negativity, and I believe negativity definitely fuels and it drives people when it makes it seem a little more interesting, because you're inclined to think of how could that happen. But when you see the positive, no one really asks, how could that happen? You know, I've been running a paper now for, almost 9 months. And the most interesting thing is, how could someone who grew up in North Philadelphia, went to North Philadelphia schools, just had a good heart, end up in a situation where now they own the oldest African-American free paper in the city of Philadelphia?
Right. Wow.
Well, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my case, and I'm a strong believer in faith in God, I believe that God gave it to me because he needed someone and I needed someone. Because he didn't have any children. He didn't have anyone to leave this to. No succession plan.
Driver.
Yeah. Mr. Driver. He had no succession plan. And ultimately, I became his succession plan. And what's interesting is neither of us realized it.
Right.
During all of those years of mentoring and molding, I had no idea that I was being mentored or cured or put in a position where I can do the things that I do today. Half of the things that I do in the conversations I have, I had no idea that I could do.
Right.
I was an HR person in an office who helped people. Definitely. I helped people every single day of my life. That's what I wanted to do. But I helped 516. Now I deal with 27,500 to 30,000 people each and every week. So what I do actually impacts the community on a much deeper level than I could ever even imagine.
So let's go back to that conversation, because now we know, you know, the mission, the legacy, why he did it, what he's going after. And so he calls the staff in and talks about, hey, listen, you know, what's going to happen when I'm not here anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you end up purchasing the paper.
Yeah, so it was a very odd conversation. We talked about giving, like, who would take over the paper if certain people came in. Now, one of the things I've always told him is I worked for Scoop because he was there.
Right.
I have a husband. I had a good job. I was the HR manager at the public defender's office. I really had no need to have two jobs anymore.
Right.
And I had actually lost that need years ago. But I stayed because, just as he said, he came to work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because I was there. And I went to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday because he was there.
Right.
So if I didn't have to go there, then I wasn't. So everyone at the table had already known that I was not going to be at the paper going forward. What he wanted to do, though, was find a person, company, or something that could carry on his legacy. So we had a discussion about how, who, or what can keep the paper as close to what it was before and still do the things that he wanted to do and actually grow the paper and make it more important to the community. So we had a roundtable conversation. We talked about different companies. We talked about people he had been talking to. And he kept talking about prices. So I just turned around and I said, how much money are you talking about? Let's just have that conversation. Tell me what you're talking about. And his nephew looked at me and smiled. And he said, why do you want to know? And I said, well, I'll talk to my husband and maybe we can do something. Maybe I could just purchase it. So he smiled. And his nephew said, well, if you want it, you can have it for free. So then everybody at the table, their eyes got big, like, why didn't we open our mouths and say that? So it was kind of like, okay. Well, I actually did end up getting it for free a couple of days later because he is the paternal type. So we called and it's like, nothing of value is worth anything if you're giving it for free. So we was like, nah, you have to pay for it. So,
right.
Okay. But I ended up having to pay something. Probably not, definitely not market value, because in addition to having to pay for it, I had to sign on to continue his legacy,
right,
and continue to keep the paper as close to what it has been for years, mm, and work toward the betterment of the community, which was simple. It was easy to do because I believe in everything that he was doing.
Let me ask you this now. So what happens is you are working at the public defenders. Mm-hmm. You're the head of HR.
Mm-hmm.
You're now running this paper. You're, mm-hmm, you're juggling. And there came a point where you said to yourself, I can't do both of these things well.
I actually, it hurts me so that I left the defenders.
Mm.
For some reason, the inside, I just started to cry, mm, and things were coming up, and I wasn't ineffective. I was doing both jobs.
Okay, doing both jobs well.
But in order for this scoop to grow, I needed to devote more time.
Mm.
One of the things, and I found it as a concern, when you talk to people about advertising and you're trying to communicate to the community the value of the paper,
right,
and someone looking at me saying, you still have a day job. You don't even believe in yourself.
Mm.
And I struggled with that because, you know, believing in myself is giving my all.
Right.
And I couldn't. I couldn't give my all because I was devoted to the 517 people at the defenders.
Yes.
And I was also trying to figure out how to make sure that I gave all of my attention to the paper, which ultimately meant I have two daughters and a grandson. So I did not see them for the probably first 6 months because, mm, I would leave out at 6 o'clock in the morning, take my daughter to school, go to the defenders, be there till maybe 6 or 7, and then go directly to the papers and be there till 2 or 3 every single night, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays included. And in doing that, I've been sitting in my house for the past couple of days because I haven't actually lived there in months.
Mm.
And it feels strange, like this,
wow,
is my house. So with that said, I've started to find myself like really becoming tired, lethargic. I couldn't do the things that I needed to do. Even though I was struggling and I was doing it, I didn't not give my attention where it needed to be, but I knew that I could do better. And in doing better, I decided that I unfortunately had to make a choice, either leave the scoop or leave the defenders.
Wow. So to those listening, this is the story of an average person doing extraordinary things, having a choice, making a choice to do more. Certainly a lot of challenges we don't have time to get into. I have, yeah, to bring you back because I'm sure the listeners would like to hear about the challenges and all your plans. But let's do this. Let's tell the listeners how they can get involved with Scoop, how, if they want to place an ad, if they want to put a story in, how they get your attention, how they benefit from the circulation of your newspaper.
If you're interested in advertising with Scoop, you can definitely log into our website and first view our paper is www.scoopusanewspaper.com. I have a digital edition here, so if you actually want to click on it, you can click on each article and read it. And there's also, for writing, you can read, once you read the paper, there's certain sections in there where it says how you can submit columns and articles to us. We are a platform for people to share their information. And if you have a voice, all of us do, it's very important that you learn to use your voice. And that's through writing, speaking, however you feel you need to get your word out. But we're definitely a platform, and we share our information each and every Friday.
Well, you heard it from the publisher, Sherry Darden. Amazing story. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you so much again for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Stay tuned, because we're going to be talking to Chris Wilson right after this commercial break.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
Here at Sonny's Famous Cheesesteaks, we have the utmost respect for the founding fathers of our fair city's most celebrated sandwich. But we also understand the inevitability of time marching on. So come to Sonny's in Old City for a revolutionary take on the classic. And try the cheesesteak that Alan Richmond of GQ magazine named the best in Philadelphia. And declare your inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of cheesiness. Sonny's Famous Steaks, 228 Market.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness. From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, we are back. Listen, we were speaking with Sherry Darden, publisher of Scoop USA newspaper. What a fantastic interview and an amazing story about a young lady who just wants to type and ends up, being the publisher of a newspaper and leaving her job to give it her all. I'm now joined by Chris Wilson, Esquire. You may think he's a lawyer in a suit, and he is, but would it be amazing that he's a former NFL football player, tight end, I believe, Kansas City Chiefs, San Diego Chargers, Baltimore Ravens, and, yes, even the Philadelphia Eagles. But what he does now, it's all related to films, from NFL to films. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you're in college. Obviously, you're playing football at Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
And what a dream to go to the NFL.
It was. It was. You know, I didn't realize it that it was a real possibility until we were at a bowl game. Mm-hmm. We had an opportunity to play at a bowl game. And as we were walking off of the field one of the days, Mike Golick was covering our game, I guess. So I walked off the field with Mike Golick, and it was my junior year, and he's like, "Are you thinking about coming out this year, entering the draft?" And I didn't even know, you know, how good I was or whether it was a real possibility. But once I sort of got that confirmation from him, I came back super focused my senior year, and we made that thing happen.
Yeah. Okay, so you've had a career in the NFL, a career that many people dream of and so few actually get a chance to realize. But during that time, were you thinking, like, hey, what do I do after my time in the NFL? Or was that something that never crossed your mind?
Oh, no, it always crosses your mind. At least I can only speak for myself. The NFL stands for not for long. You know,
yes.
The average career is about 3.5 years.
Yes.
So for me, I've always sort of known that I was going to have a second career after the NFL. So I didn't know what it would be, but I played around. I did. The NFL offers programs, extracurricular programs, I guess, if you will, but business programs and whatnot. So I took some business management courses at Harvard. In the off season, and just sort of played around with my options and what would enrich me the most, and I ended up deciding on law school to sort of like make that transition from the sports world into the business world.
So for a lot of people, law school is intimidating. I mean, you know, it's a fear factor, right? But that didn't bother you, did it?
You know, I learned how to handle my fears at a young age. You know, when you get a chance to play on that stage, you know, only people who know how to put their fears aside and be courageous, those are the only ones who make it.
Okay.
You know, so coming out of the league, I was fearless. I mean, I didn't really think that there was anything that hard work and sacrifice and discipline and commitment couldn't achieve for me.
So you go to UCLA law school, and was it that tough? Did you have to really, or was that easy? You're like, wow, this is a lot easier than I thought.
No, it was definitely tough. Law school's tough, but I think sometimes my classmates would joke with me that I made it look easy, but that's just because I didn't necessarily wear my anxiety and stress on my face, but nah, I mean, it was your game face on.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, this final tomorrow, 6-hour final, no problem.
Well, I learned to enjoy situations like that. Like, it's funny because you get addicted to just high stakes situations and those situations that give you the most anxiety and the most fear. So, like, if I didn't have anything in my life that didn't make me nervous or anxious, I'd be pretty bored.
Yeah, there's a famous quote, and I don't quite got it right, by I think it was Jackie Stewart, the race car driver, and the commentator says, like, how do you keep the car under control when you're driving that fast? And he said, if the car's under control, you're not driving fast enough.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's always sort of pedal to the metal and just trying to achieve things, achieve goals, set goals for yourself, have a vision, prepare, and work hard at executing it and repeat. You know what I mean? That's something that I learned through sports that I didn't have that in me as a kid. So, you know, now I have a daughter, and the reason I would put her in sports is partly because she's athletic, but it's partly because of those life lessons that kids get through team competition.
Right. So you are in law school, you graduate from law school, sports entertainment, that seems like a natural place, you know about it. But at the time, did you ever think, like, hey, I think I'll be a screenwriter, producer, and filmmaker?
No, I didn't. Everybody kind of assumed sports agent.
Yeah, I would assume, right? That seems like a natural thing. You know, football people, you talk to them, you represent them, you know, young guys coming in, you sign them up. How did you end up in film?
Well, the sports and entertainment specialization is sort of all one department at UCLA law, and it's pretty reputable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, UCLA, you're right there in, you know, the Hollywood scene. And
so I sat in a entertainment law classroom just sort of studying the business side of things. And I've always wanted to express myself even when I was in the league. And, you know, being in the NFL, is not always the platform where they allow players to express their individuality or whatever they're feeling. So, but I've always had those things inside me just from my upbringing. And so when I was sitting there on the business side of the law thing, I was like, man, I got some things to express, man. What if I just made my own media? What if I just made my own film? What if I just sat down and write? I mean, the time is now. If you want to achieve your dreams, if you want to go for something and you think you might have a chance at producing something worthwhile, just do it. Just make it. So when I finished law school, I still took the bar. Because my mother made me, pretty much.
Good for her. So you're a licensed attorney, right?
I'm a licensed attorney.
Okay, well, I'm with her. I do the same thing with my kids.
Yeah, but after that, I turned the job down and decided to learn how to make films and express myself through that.
So you're trying to communicate to people, and you did a short film called Mid-City Blue.
Yeah.
What were you trying to express? Why did you make that film? And tell the listeners what it's about.
Mid-City Blue, a film we shot. Actually, my director of photography is here with me. A film we shot last year. It's about an African-American police officer, a rookie cop, who's on his way in for his first day, and he gets pulled over while he's in his civilian clothes. And the reason I decided to sort of try to tackle that subject is just because of the climate at the time in the country and everything that was going on with African-American men being placed in this crazy situation on the side of the road where they don't really know exactly what to do and just feeling kind of impotent in that way because no matter whether you comply or not, it just doesn't guarantee your safety all of the time. And I wanted to explore the complexity in some of those interactions with police because sometimes it's a rogue individual or a rogue officer, but sometimes it's just a miscommunication that leads to a disastrous outcome. It's a film that tries to tackle that.
Yeah, and in tackling it, the officer, at least one of the officers who stops the main character is African American, is that right?
No, the officers are not African American.
Okay. I'm just reading the description. I know, but he's trying to show his son.
He has a passenger. He's trying to
a teenager.
He's trying to take a teenager downtown, basically do a favor for a friend, and take her niece downtown for him. And she's pretty feisty. She's pretty. She's a handful in of herself.
Mm-hmm.
So once they do get pulled over, the interaction could go a number of ways.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So it was an interesting challenge, and it's been well received everywhere. I mean, we played. We got an opportunity to. When you make independent films,
yes. Yeah.
It's just a blessing to have somebody want to put it on the big screen, right? So we've been in the festival circuit. now, and we're still playing the festival circuit. We've played it on big screens in Los Angeles, all the way to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Brooklyn, New York, you know, and all of those different diverse audiences have all received it well. We just found out that we are a semi-finalist for the Student Academy Awards.
Oh, okay.
Student Oscars.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we should find out in a few weeks whether or not we're Oscar nominated, I guess, on
yeah.
the student level. Yeah.
That would be fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Now, I did Google it. And I didn't really find it like a version I could watch. Is it out there, or is it something that you gotta find in a certain location?
Yeah, right now it's I have it. I distribute it to people privately mm-hmm. for their screening because we're on the festival circuit
right,
and trying
right.
to work out a distribution deal.
Right.
And until we work out distribution, it won't be available for the public probably for. 2018.
So what I know about the film is by reading about it, and what I've read is that this, while it is a topic that can be very polarizing, because people are like, oh, I know what the story is, I know how this turns out, but you provide a story where the person, this rookie police officer in his civilian clothes, has got a positive attitude towards law enforcement. He gets a routine stop, and he wants to show this teenager how to handle this, and then it unfolds in a way that is natural, that is not proselytizing or pushing a perspective. It just unfolds as something that would happen.
Realistically, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
you know. And an interesting story is that you know, because I worry about these things. And,
yeah.
And a lot of times when people retreat to their polls on a polarizing topic such as this, it's very easy. People start throwing around the word patriotism.
Right,
you know,
right.
Or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely wanted to make sure that we explored a character that was patriotic and sort of struggling to maintain is patriotism, you know, in the face of what's going on, because you know, Americans, is particularly African Americans, it's not a monolithic community, right?
It
is
right.
Everyone has a wide array of opinions and viewpoints towards things, but this particular character believes in America, democracy, you know, and all of the Constitution and all of those things that he thinks will make him a successful police officer and able to give back to his community.
Right.
But that doesn't guarantee his safety.
Right. And so this is one of your first projects, and there are more to come. You're actually got to do like a thesis one, right?
Yeah. We're next week, actually, we'd start principal photography on our next short, which explores the lives of 3 10-year-old boys on the first day of summer.
Right.
Yeah, and they're just sort of, they go on a short expedition through the neighborhood, and they wind up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Wow. So you're in the creative process now. Where do you get your material from? Are these things you've experienced? Are these things you've seen?
That's a good question, yeah. Absolutely. So the type of films that I like to write are, you know, definitely narrative and fictionalized, but very realistic and drawn from real situations. Mid-City Blue, the one we shot last year, was I drew from my own interactions with law enforcement, but also hearing stories from friends, family, colleagues, real things that have happened, real things that have been said back and forth.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, we are talking with Chris Wilson, former NFL football player, attorney at law, and filmmaker. When I say filmmaker, look, screenwriter, producer, director, you know, you got a lot of things going on. And so we thank you for coming out, sharing that with us, and a lot of your attitudes and whatnot about, you know, hey, look, you got to go for it. So... Yeah.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me out. And yeah, independent film, you kind of got to wear a bunch of hats.
Yes.
You know, until you get to the level where people paying you to do one job, you got to kind of do them
right.
More. Yeah. So, but thanks. Thanks for having me out.
All right. Christy Wilson. Well, listen, everybody, stay tuned. After this commercial break, we'll be talking to Honey White. And hey, check out the Indonesian American Community events. You can participate with a new community, new friends you can meet.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, we are back. Hey, we were talking to Chris Wilson. Listen, Kansas City Chiefs fans out there, you know, hey, the Chargers, Ravens, Eagles, hey, Chris Wilson. Did you know he's a filmmaker now? Well, he's also an attorney, so yeah, just amazing. And Sherry Darden, from secretary to publisher of Scoop USA newspaper. Well, listen, right now it's my pleasure to introduce you to Hani White. I know Hani. What a wonderful person she is. She's an economic development professional with more than 12 years' experience in asset building, business development, and nonprofit management. Formerly, she was Deputy Director of the Office of Immigrant Affairs for the City of Philadelphia. She has had many years of service with the Women's Opportunities Resource Center, and she is the former president of the Indonesian Community of Greater Philadelphia and currently a co-founder of a nonprofit called Feed the Barrel. Hani, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, listen, a lot of people listening, they may not know much about the Indonesian community, and they may say, well, what does that have to do with me? And so tell us about the Indonesian community here in the Philadelphia area.
So first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity, Councilman.
Oh, thanks for being
yes.
here.
Yes. So Indonesian community, there is a couple thousand of us. Mm-hmm. Mostly we live in South Philadelphia.
Yes.
If you know our community, we are the most hardworking, honest, friendly, and super lovely people.
Wow. You can't get better than that, right?
Yes. So there is a saying in Indonesian language where we say, di mana bumi dipijak. Di situ langit dijunjung. Mm. So the losing, like, translation for that word is basically love where you live, but not only love where you live, but also contribute doing something meaningful.
Wow.
So that's the base of our community.
Good words for anyone, and certainly the makings of a good neighbor.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, the Indonesian, and I've been to events, and in fact, you invited me to another event.
Indeed.
These events, can anybody attend?
Absolutely. It's open for public. Mm-hmm. So we have a multiple event that I would like to share with you now.
Yes.
Should I just start with July 28th?
Absolutely, because that's coming up, July 28th.
That's next week. Yes. Exactly. So we have our very own Modero Dance Company, mm-hmm. led by my good, very good friend, Sinta Storm, in conjunction work with the Office of Art and Culture and Creative Office.
Yes.
Kelly. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the performance in public spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be at the FDR Park, Area 8 and 9.
In South Philadelphia.
In South Philadelphia.
Right near where the Eagles train.
Exactly. It's open for public. Bring your friends and family. Mm. Don't forget to bring your cell phone because we're going to dress beautifully, beautiful dancing. And, of course, we're going to show you what some of other Indonesian winning food and culture.
Oh, my goodness. The food is great.
Absolutely. We need to take you some time to Indonesian food.
Oh, my
restaurant.
Goodness. Well, listen, I certainly have had wonderful food when I've gone to your festivals.
Right.
But feel free to invite me to a restaurant anytime.
Absolutely. That's going to be our homework.
So for folks who are interested, what time is this going to happen on the 28th?
On the 28th, it's on the evening, I believe on 6 p.m., but let me double check. But beside of that also, I would like to share with you, we're going to have incoming Indonesian Week, which is starting on August 11th.
August 11th,
until
okay.
August the 18th.
Okay.
Yes, that's going to be mostly happening in South Philadelphia again, because
yes.
that's where mostly where our family come from.
Yes.
Yes, actually July 28th is at 6 p.m. at
6
FDR
p.m.
Park.
At FDR
right.
Park. Okay. Mm-hmm. And for folks who want to follow up and say, hey, I want to check that out, is there a website or someplace they can go?
Absolutely. We have the Facebook page.
Okay, Facebook.
Basically, you can you could friend my good friend page. It's called Modero and Company, M-O-D-E-R-O and Company. Mm-hmm. Like their Facebook page, and you're going to get all this information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. Well, so tell us about Indonesian Week.
All right. So August 17, 1945, Indonesia independence from Dutch. Yes. It's actually only 2 days different with South Korea. Mm. South Korea Independence Day is 15 August 1945. So we learn it very well in school, but we jealous of South Korea because you guys have Samsung and Hyundai and everything.
Yeah. Some big companies there.
Absolutely. Yeah. But here in Philadelphia, our community, we love to present our Indonesian week that been happening for the past 4 years in City Philadelphia.
Yes.
So it's a week long from August 11 to August 18. We're going to start with the community cleanup project.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to clean the area around St. Thomas Aquinas, 17 and Morris.
Right.
The whole community going to work hand in hand. We actually have this project called My Home Philadelphia.
Mm.
So every month we actually took 2 blocks square and we come to that blocks and clean up, like starting from the sidewalk, from the street, and everything in that block.
Wow, gotta love that, especially if you're living around St. Thomas Aquinas or South Philly. Everybody coming out to do a community cleanup.
Yes, and that's going to be at 8 a.m. on August 11.
Okay.
The next will be still in the same day, from 1 to 3 p.m., Heichel's Garden. My husband actually wrote a book about kids' urban gardening,
mm-hmm.
and we are working with a free library, culinary literacy center, to have an event called Eat Like an Indonesian.
Okay, well, listen, so far we're talking about good stuff, right?
Indeed,
yes.
Indeed. So we're going to teach people that come to this event how to cook gado-gado.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, everybody loves to cook. You know, if there's one thing people love to do, they love to cook, they love to eat, they love to figure out new cuisine. So you're going to teach them how to make a specialty food, huh?
Specialty food called gado-gado. It's basically a salad,
mm-hmm.
Indonesian salad. We have a peanut dressing,
yep.
and it's very popular, but we understand that a lot of people might have peanut allergy,
mm-hmm.
so we have some surprise alternate ingredients
right.
than peanut.
Okay.
So this is going to be really cool because a lot of people never think of other dressing beside peanut, but yes,
right.
we're going to teach that in our August 11 event.
All right. Okay.
So next will be Wednesday, August 15 at 5:30. We're going to have free traditional Indonesian dance class with, again, Modero Dance, Sinta. So
right.
if you have any kids or anybody that would like to learn how to dance Indonesian,
right.
it's very simple. It's very graceful. But, of course, that you're going to enjoy it because our
right.
teacher, she is the best dance teacher in the community.
Okay. That sounds like a family fun event. Bring your kids. So if you have, your kids, you want to give them an opportunity to participate in a different culture, a different style of dance, it's free and it's fun.
Indeed, it's 5:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
at Headlong Studio,
mm-hmm.
which is located at Broad and Federal in
okay.
South Philly.
All right.
So the next one is a free film screening. Mm. Another free film screening is at Philadelphia Praise Center.
Okay.
It's one of our anchor church, Mennonite Church, in 17 and McKean.
Mm.
We're going to have a drama comedy with English subtitle.
Right.
So feel free to come. If you don't speak Indonesia, it's not a problem. We're going to show a film. The title is Cek Toko Sebelah.
Ah, interesting. Now, is there a connection between the Indonesian community and the Mennonite church because of the Dutch?
Yes. A lot of, there is a painful history that Indonesia was occupied by Dutch for 350 years.
Yes.
But Mennonite is a really deep and a wide believer in Indonesia.
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, when I was in public school, junior high school, I had an opportunity to stay with a family for 1 year and go to a Mennonite high school for ninth grade. And so, yeah, I did learn about the Mennonites. I had a wonderful time out there. After that, I returned to Philadelphia, went to Central High School. But, yeah, I have that 1 year at Christopher Dock Mennonite High School.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that high school.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic.
An awesome high school.
Okay, and so what else is coming up?
What coming up is this is the event that actually we would like you to come.
Okay, I'll be there.
Yes, August 18, Indonesian Festival.
Uh-oh.
We're going to have a big event in St. Thomas Aquinas, 1719 Morris Street, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
So we have a multiple different event that day. We're going to have food vendor if you would like to try some of Indonesian food. Lots of them are spicy, but if you don't like spice, we have a lot of sweet and mild and salty food too.
Yeah, fortunately, I like spicy, sweet, mild, and everything else.
Excellent. We have flag raising ceremony.
Yes.
We have a consular service. So the Consulate General Office from New York will come to Philadelphia.
Okay.
And that's why we would like to invite you, because we want you to meet with our Consulate General and talk about the international trading.
Yes. Look, international trade and commerce, collaboration, so important for people in our region to have that type of opportunity. It's jobs, it's opportunities for entrepreneurs and everything else.
Indeed. And also, we're going to have a cultural performance and a lot of door prize.
Oh, so, door prizes. Uh-oh.
Yes, that will be great, because if you like singing, if you like playing games, we would welcome you there. And who knows, you might win any door prize.
Yeah, well, listen, it's I'll be there. And so for any of our listeners, look, feel free. We were just talking about how, like, you know, everybody comes out for St. Patrick's Day, because everyone is welcome. But sometimes with the many communities and our many neighbors, you know, people just feel, hey, I might not be welcome. I'm not sure if I should go. But, yeah, come on out. You know, you'll have a wonderful time, meet new people, experience, you know, the diverse cultures and perspectives without taking a plane all the way over to Indonesia. And you could do that right here in Philadelphia.
Indeed. It's usually take around 22 to 28 hours to fly to Indonesia.
Yeah, that's a long flight.
It's a long
flight. Better go to
flight.
South Philly.
Well, last but not least,
yes.
On August 21st, our Indonesian Muslim friends from Masjid Al-Falah, they're going to have the Eid al-Adha celebration in their masjid that located at 17 and Tasker.
Okay.
So they're going to have an open house. People could come after the prayer. We're going to have plenty of foods.
Right.
And also, come with family and friends and try some of Indonesian barbecue. We're going to grill a lot of good stuff.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, that's an invitation from the Indonesian American community in the greater Philadelphia area to participate. Check them out. The website again is?
Yes.
Or the Facebook
is? The Facebook. So we have the Indonesian Diaspora Network of Greater Philadelphia, plus please like our Facebook, and you're going to have all the event that I mentioned earlier on that Facebook page.
Okay, fantastic. Well, listen, that wraps up this week's show. Thank you for joining me with all our guests. Tune in next week, and again, 2 to 3 for In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.